So this is Bernadette Sweeney recording an interview with Tom Sullivan for The Gathering. We're at Tom's home, Missoula, and it's October 27th, 2010. So Tom, to start off, tell me a little about your Irish background, or as much as you know.
Sure. I was born in Butte in 1956, went to St. Anne's Catholic grade school, and then I went on to Butte Central High School, graduated in 1974. Then I went to Eastern Montana College in Billings and ended up finishing at the University of Montana in social work degree in 1983.
And that was here in Missoula?
Yes.
Right.
And then where do you want to go from there?
Your family background, your Irish family background.
Okay, my father, Francis Leo Sullivan, was born in Butte in 1921-22.
Uh-huh.
He lived on Alabama Street. He had five siblings. His father was Quinn Sullivan, who was born in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
In the little village of Ivories, County
West
Cork, Barrow Peninsula. My grandmother was Catherine Murphy, born in Ivories, County Cork, Barrow Peninsula. They came to America roughly in the late 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
Came to New York, ended up in Butte. I'm not sure how they, I'm not sure why. Butte. I would imagine, I'm sure for because there was employment.
Yeah, yeah. And so many other people from there went to Butte.
And I did hear a story that Marcus Daly went over to Ivories knowing that these people were copper miners.
Yeah.
And he persuaded people to come over to Butte because there would be jobs and lodging and a new way of life.
So were your grandparents married when they left Ireland?
No. They were probably, I think they were around 12 or 13. They never met each other in Ireland. They met each other in Butte.
But they were both from Ireland?
Yes.
My goodness. That's
yes.
A very small town.
I've been there. It's very small. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how they met. I don't know if my mom knows. But they got married at St. Mary's Church in, I believe it was 1910.
Right.
Is that what I said before? You remember? But it was the St. Mary's Church, I know.
Right.
And Quinn worked as he was a miner for a while.
Yeah.
And then he was a clerk of some sort. I'm not sure. I think he was a clerk for the Anaconda Company. He did not want his sons to be miners, I know. My oldest uncle, Joe, died at the age of 20 or 18 of, I think, pneumonia.
Oh, okay.
And then my Uncle Dan, and then my Aunt Mary, and then Father Bernard, and then my father, Francis, and then my other Aunt Margaret, and they all went to, Boys Central and Girls Central,
right.
Which it was labeled back then.
And Father Bernard was known as Bud?
He was known as Father Bud.
Right.
He was ordained in 1944 in Butte. He was a Catholic, he was a parish priest, and he started off in Anaconda at St. Peter's, was a principal of Anaconda Central, then went to Dillon, then went to Helena, built St. Mary's Church in Helena. Then he went to Thompson Falls. Then he went to Columbia Falls and he retired in 1989 and moved to Helena for his retirement.
Right, and he passed away when?
In 2005.
Right.
And Father Bud was the Vicar General. He was also chaplain of the Montana Legislature while he resided in Helena.
Uh-huh.
And then when he's retired, he really didn't retire. He Well, he did retire, but I mean, he was they were utilized very much. So he would travel around Western Montana, spelling priests, giving them vacation.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Different things like that.
And you mentioned last week you were very close to Father Bud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My dad died in 1965. I was just turned 10.
Oh.
And Bud was in, Bud I believe was in Dillon then, I believe. And yes, he was very instrumental in my life. My mom then raised us four. My older sister Kate was, you see, I was nine, excuse me, I was nine, she was 13. My sister Sheila was 10, and my little sister Colleen was 3.
Oh,
at that time, yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
What did your mother do?
She, my dad luckily worked for the federal government, and so she had, we were on Social Security, I know, you know, survivor benefits.
Yeah.
And she went to work for Dr. John Morris, who is like our third cousin, my mom's second cousin, and he was a dentist in Beard.
Right.
And she worked for him for probably 12 or 14 years, and then she went and worked at Butte Central for about another maybe 20 years, I'm not sure.
Yeah, what did she do at Butte
Central? She was the secretary. She was like the person you would talk to when you walked in. She was the head office person.
Right.
Right underneath Laverne Combo.
Oh, I've heard of Laverne.
Unbelievable. She was unbelievable. Laverne was unbelievable. Laverne could do, my mom told me Laverne could do every student schedule in her head and did not need a computer.
Oh my gosh.
And back then, Central, when I graduated from Butte Central, we had 670 kids in our school.
Yeah.
Now it's down to like 140 or 130, but it was a pretty big high school.
Yeah.
I think the biggest year was the year before me. I think there was close to 700 that year.
Right.
In our school.
Yeah. It's fallen off very dramatically. Yeah.
Very dramatically.
Tell me about your great-grandfather.
Well, Father Bud told me the most about him. I went to Ireland with Father Bud in 1984. Our cousin Mary O'Shea, which I think I'm related to Mary O'Shea. Bill O'Shea is her father. He owned a pub in Castletown Bear called O'Shea's Pub. Very creative.
Yes, we're very poetic people, aren't we?
I cannot remember how Mary was related to us now. But she had met Bud, Father Bud, on previous trips to Ireland that he had made. He made a pilgrimage there. He took my mom and sister over there. He took various groups over to Ireland. So she called him and asked him if he would marry her. So that's why he and I went.
Right.
She married a fellow by the name of Cornelius O'Harrington.
Uh-huh.
So Bud performed the ceremony in Catholic Church, and it was either in Irese or Castletown Bear, I can't remember now. Beautiful old church. And then we went up to Kenmare for the reception. My great grandfather, who was born in Ireland, and talking to my mom last night, she believes he was a farmer. He had two wives. His first wife died. She had nine children. And then he married a younger lass. I'm not sure how old she was. And they had 16 children. Yeah, no. Well, the total of 27, so whatever they had.
That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. And
he had 27 children.
And Bud and I went to the house where Quinn was raised.
Yeah.
In 84. Quinn died, my grandfather died like in 1956, the year I was born. My grandmother died, his wife, Kate Murphy Sullivan, died in 1955. So Father Bud showed me the house. It was unbelievably small. I mean, I don't know. I can't even imagine how they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to fathom.
Unbelievable, yeah. So according to what Bud told me, half of those my grandfather's siblings came to America and the other half stayed there.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you know, do they stay in touch after they came to America, or do you know anything about them?
They're pretty much all dead by the time I was, around. I know my dad kept in touch with them, with a lot of his relatives, and I know Father Bud did. But, you know, I know we met some brothers who would, I guess, be my great uncles and great aunts.
Yeah.
When I went to Irie's in
you
Castletown
Fair.
Yes, we did meet a few. God, it's been so long, I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But I remember Bud knew them because he had been there.
Uh-huh.
I remember going over to many, many people's houses that we were related to. And it was just
sure.
kind of all scrambled now. As far as America goes, you know, my uncles were dead by the time. Like my godfather, Dan, my dad's older brother, died when I was like in sixth grade.
Right.
My Uncle Ray died, his older brother, when I was a senior in high school. So I really didn't get to hardly know them. I didn't really get to know my dad.
Yeah, of course.
So Bud was really the only Sullivan male that I got to know. Amazingly, out of all those 27 children,
yeah.
Bud was the only Sullivan male.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one left. And I don't have any children. I have a stepson, but I don't have any children of my own.
Yeah.
So our little vein will vanish.
That's
off the face of it. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because my dad, Joe, was killed. Or he died at 20, wasn't killed. He died at 20 of an illness. Dan did not have any children. My Uncle Ray did not have any children. Bud was a priest. I assume he didn't have any children. And that was it. So we were the only kids in the family.
Yeah. And what about your mother's side of the family?
My mother's mother, Catherine McGrath, was born in Butte. And she married a fellow by the name of Robert Benny, he was born in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in Park City, and he was a miner in Park City. He died when my mom was 9.
Oh.
So my grandma, my mom's mom, Catherine McGrath, her name is Catherine Benny, of course,
mm-hmm.
then moved my mom, her older sister Mary Lou, who is still, my aunt's still alive, she lives in Billings, Sweeney is her name.
There you go.
And my uncle Bob Benny to Butte. And her mother, Bridget McGrath, ran a boarding house in Butte,
uh-huh.
On Copper Street, called the Lighthouse.
Really?
So my grandma, at that time, then earned enough money to buy the what was the name of the hotel? It was before the Lincoln. Hillcrest Hotel on Park Street. She sold that and then bought the Lincoln Hotel in March of 1947. So I assume she bought the Hillcrest in the 30s sometime, mid-30s, late-30s.
And the first one was, I think that's somebody's
name. It's Dan McClafferty. I'll call it back.
The Lighthouse was the first one, and that was on Copper Street?
That was a boarding house that Bridget McGrath, that would have been my great-grandmother, ran. And according to my mom, what they did is she said there were 30 to 40 beds, and men just rotated in and out of those beds, because the mines were open 24 hours a day, so they'd sleep.
They slept in shifts.
And my great-grandma provided a lunch for the miners as they were all heading to work.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Can't imagine how busy that house must have been.
Unbelievable. Butte was 100,000 people back then. I mean,
yeah.
It was.
They all seem to have been in about 5 boarding houses. There
must have been a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I never did meet my I never met my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know my grandmother quite well, my mother's mother, She remarried in about 1946 to a fellow by the name of Tim Dugan, who was my step-grandfather. He was from Chicago originally. He was a bartender in Butte at the Aero Club, I believe.
Right.
Does that sound? Aero Club. That's my mom on that one. But when they bought the Hillcrest and Lincoln, he had helped my grandma.
Right.
So my grandma died then. She ran the Lincoln Hotel all probably till 1980, early 80s.
Okay.
And then she went into the Crest Nursing Home. She had dementia. And she lived there for probably 10 years. But she lived a long time in the Crest Nursing Home.
Yeah.
And she died in 1989. Mm. And then my step-grandfather, Tim Dugan, died like in 1987, a couple years before her. Yeah. Yeah, I did not come to his funeral. I was too far away.
Yeah.
So, where do you want to go from here then?
Well, then, your mother was a Benny.
My mother was a Benny. And Robert Benny is Scottish. He was born in... No, excuse me. His father was born in... His name was Jim Benny. My mom's dad's name was Jim Benny. His father was born in Benn's Hill, Scotland.
Hmm.
My mom's grandmother was born in Kirby, Utah.
Right.
And her name was Manette. And she was half Welsh. And we think quarter Irish and a quarter French-Canadian. Native American. She was olive skin, dark hair.
Right, yeah.
And my cousin Ann Lynn, Bob Benny's oldest daughter,
yeah,
is olive skin, dark hair.
Right, and that's where it comes from.
Yep. So that's about all I know about. Let me see, Bridget. Oh, this is interesting. My mom told me, okay, Bridget Morris Rowe, so that'd be my mom's grandmother, who was born in Ireland, married Anthony Morris Rowe.
Okay.
And they were from Belladurin, Roscommon. That sound right? Belladurin, Mayo, or Roscommon? Right on the board.
Belladurin, maybe?
There you go. Say it again.
Belladurin.
That's it. Is that right on the border of Roscommon and Mayo?
Could be.
It's from, they're right, because Bud and I did go up there.
Yeah.
We did not have any names to call, but Bud knew them. That's where my mom's family was from.
Right.
And I have dairy cows in Ireland written down. They were dairy farmers.
Right.
And when I went to Ireland in 84, my cousin Patrick Murphy, I don't have any brothers, but I look just like him.
Oh.
He was probably 6 years older than me. He was a dairy farmer in Irish.
Yeah.
He married a lady by the name of Mary O'Sullivan. There was no relation. And they had five boys. I've often wondered how they're doing.
Yeah. And jump ahead a little bit here, but you're talking about your trip to Ireland. You went in 1984?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have been what age then?
27.
27. And you went with Father Bud?
Mm-hmm. And my aunt, Mary O'Boyle, my Bud's older sister.
Right. And did you go for long?
A month.
A month. And what did you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come home.
Yeah. You went all over. You went.
Yeah, we flew into Shannon, and then we immediately went down to Irie's, and we stayed at a B&B, and the lady's name was Mary O'Sullivan, no relation.
Yeah.
Stayed there for about, I'm going to say 10 days at least. And I went on Cornelius's bachelor party, of course, at O'Shea's pub, his future father-in-law. And Con, we called him Con,
mm-hmm.
He had about eight brothers, and I got to, you know, it was quite an experience for me. The one thing that amazed me, I would walk into a pub in Ireland, and I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't open my mouth, and the bartender would say, "Yank, what do you want?" And I'd say, "How do you know I'm a Yank?" He goes, "Oh, Yank, I know you're a Yank." Okay. Every place I went.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So then Bud, married them, and then we went up to the reception was unbelievable. She invited the whole village. They had it in shifts. Like there was the first shift for reception was like 3 to 7, and the second one was like 8 to 11 or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was quite the experience. And then after that we went back to Irie's, and then a couple of days later we toured the island.
Bear Island.
We did go to Bear Island.
Yeah.
Yes, we took the ferry over there, and I watched my oldest, Patrick Murphy's oldest son. God, I cannot remember. I think it was Patrick Jr. play Gaelic football.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then that was while we were there that 10 days. I'm trying to think what else we did. We just visited relatives pretty much when we were in those 10 days down there. Just pretty much.
Yeah.
Didn't really go anywhere. Just kind of hung out around Irie's and Castletown Bear. Yeah, we really didn't go anywhere. Just to Kenmare for the reception. Then we went on a tour of the island, and we went to, it's not Bab, but what's that? Cove.
Yeah.
And then we didn't go into Cork City. We went on the outskirts of Cork City, and then we went to Blarney Castle.
Uh-huh.
And then we went on, I remember stopping at Enniskillen. At that time, it was the nine counties, they were occupied by British militia. And I remember driving up to the checkpoint in Enniskillen, and I remember rolling down my window, and a black, and my brother-in-law's black, I had nothing against black people,
yeah.
But he was a black British militia guy with a semi-automatic weapon. And he looked at me and he goes, "Yank, I want to see your American Express or your driver's license. What in the hell are you doing here?"
Yeah.
Pretty intimidating.
Yeah, they were.
So,
they were tough times.
Got out, frisked Bud, frisked me, frisked my aunt, went through the car.
Yeah.
I looked at Bud and I go, "There's no reason to go up here.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go to Belfast." So we did not go to Belfast.
So you turned around to the border?
Nope, we went to Donegal.
Right.
And spent a couple of days in Donegal, which was really fun.
Yeah.
Then we went down to Galway.
Yeah.
And then, just kind of Galway and Kilkenny by there, kind of.
By Montana standards, it is. I guess Kilkenny. By Irish standards.
We went to Kilkenny, I think, on our way from Shannon to Irie's, but we just toured the island.
Yeah.
And we didn't. And then we just landed back in Shannon. Went to Bunratty Castle, went to Dirty Nellie's, and I remember going to a medieval.
Oh, you did the banquet.
Banquet,
mm.
With the singing and that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm from very close to there. I'm
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, just some south of there.
And it says just 16 miles from Bunratty.
South, just like due south.
What is Bunratty? Ennis is north, kind of east, northwest,
oh.
Or sorry, of Bunratty.
Okay, gotcha.
Just a little.
I really like Galway too, and I know my friend Dan Lachlan's from Galway, from Anaconda, because he's got the black hair, and I remember stories of the Spanish Armada,
yes,
floating in the survivors, and yeah.
You reckon that's where Dan gets it from?
I assume. I assume, and his wit and his kid, he's unbelievable.
So when you went to Ireland in 1984, was it like you expected it would be?
Better.
Yeah. Why? And I know you haven't been back since, so this
No. You know, I really felt like I was at home.
Yeah.
And when I was 27, I was not married. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And America to me just seemed greedy. We're greedy people, and I throw myself into that lot of people.
Yeah.
And when I went over there, it was very refreshing to see my relatives. They had nothing. They didn't have a car. They barely had electricity.
Mm.
And they were the happiest people in the world.
Yeah. But you missed the boom where we all got really greedy.
I know.
And I throw myself in with them. But now, of course, it's the crash, so everybody is having to try and
sure.
go back
just
to the
like,
old ways of
just
it.
Like it is here.
Yeah.
But I remember coming back to America, and my good friend got married, one of my best friends, and I was in his wedding, and I felt out of place. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
And I'd met a couple girls over there that I kind of spent a little time with, and it was a wonderful experience. It was unbelievable.
The road not taken.
Yeah. And so I was just at that age, I guess, where, you know, when you're 27, I just kind of didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. It just seemed like it fit.
Yeah.
I really felt at peace. I felt, I'm home.
Really? Of course you were, because so many of the people there were your people, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't have, all my relatives in Butte were girls. Bob Benny has four girls and a boy, and the boy's like 12 years younger than me, so I was the only boy growing up. So when I went to Ireland, there were men my age that I looked like.
Yeah.
And I don't have any brothers. So that was very refreshing.
Yeah.
And I definitely look like a Murphy.
Yeah.
There's no question I'm a Murphy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's no question. When I saw Patrick Murphy, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a pioneer. I remember him telling me alcohol never touched his lips. I thought was astounding. I really admired him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had five little boys. They all boys. Yeah. I just felt at home, I guess. I don't know. And at peace. And I don't know what I would have done for a living there.
Yeah.
I guess I could have worked on the dairy farm with Patrick, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So coming back to America, really, it took me a while to adjust, to be quite honest. I do remember that. It took me, because I was living here. I was living in Missoula then at that time.
Yeah.
And it took me a while.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I just thought, we're so greedy here. We're just, nobody's happy. Everybody wants more. They want more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
And your uncle, Father Bud, went back a lot, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You mentioned he took trips back.
I'm trying to think how many times he went after that. I know he went in 89. I remember he took my little sister, Colleen, and my mom, and a group of parishioners from Columbia Falls, kind of on a pilgrimage to Ireland and the Vatican, and yeah. And but he was there several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you... when you came back, then we talked a little bit last week about other places that you've lived in. You lived in Hawaii for a number of years.
I did. I lived in Hawaii from 1985 through 1990.
And
I got married in Hawaii.
You got married in Hawaii.
To a girl from Kalispell. I moved to Kalispell from here, like in 1984. That year,
mm-hmm.
I got, and then. I met a girl who was living in Hawaii, and she was home for the summer. And I met her during the summer.
Right.
And I was selling wine at the time. I was a wine salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going back to Hawaii in January, and we at that time were living together. And she said, "Why don't you come back? Why don't you come to Hawaii?" And I thought, "Why not? I've never been there. Why not?" So I did, and then we ended up getting married in October of 86 on Maui, and lived on Maui. Taught kindergarten and waited tables, that's what I did.
Yeah.
There.
And you said you found it very different, culturally speaking.
I was a minority.
Yeah.
I think everybody should be a minority. It took 6 months for people, let's rephrase that. It took me 6 months working at the Intercontinental before people accepted me. Because
right.
they knew I was going to stay.
Right.
And they knew I just wasn't there for the short term.
Yeah.
But then once they accept you, they're the most gracious, loving people I've ever met. I loved it. They were unbelievable.
Right.
There was many, you know, Japanese, Chinese, Filipino, Samoan, Haoles, a lot of white people too.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, several times he'd walk into a store, you'd be the only white person in there. That's different.
Yeah.
But it was good for me. I moved there when I was 29 and left when I was 34. So it was a really good experience, you know? Yeah, it was a really good experience.
And when you left, you came back to
Kalispell.
Kalispell.
And lived there I lived in Kalispell for about a total of 18 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did you do in Kalispell?
I worked at Northwest Montana Human Resources, which is a nonprofit agency in Kalispell, as a case manager in a federal job training program working with at-risk youth.
Right.
That's what I did. And then I got divorced here in 01, and I moved to Missoula in 03.
And you're working with the job center?
I work at Missoula Job Center, so I work for the state of Montana now. Very similar to what I did in Kalispell, just a little different, but very similar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at Kalispell and here as well in Missoula, do you find much of a way of identifying with your Irish heritage?
Well, let me tell you, let me give you an example. In Kalispell, usually Butte boys outnumber Anaconda boys in any town I've lived in Montana. In Kalispell, was vice versa.
Yeah.
There was Pat Lee, who was from Butte. He was raised in Dublin Gulch. And myself from Butte. And then there were probably 8 Anaconda guys that we were all good friends. Because we had the same morals. We were all different ages. They were older than me, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. So Kevin Kalman, who was the oldest, he's 70 now. I'm 54, Kevin's 70. So Kevin Kalman, Anaconda Central, Bobby Applegate, Anaconda Central, Dave Meredith, Anaconda Central, Jim Pepper Murphy, Anaconda Central, Curly Hansen, Anaconda Central, Pat Lee and myself would hop in a Suburban. And in Butte at one time there was a railroad called the BAMP,
mm-hmm.
the Butte Anaconda Pacific. So we would go down to this bar in Paradise, Montana, where they had Harp and Guinness on draft, which is amazing because Paradise is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, just seeing that in my mind's eye, the map. Going,
it's right
on
the
draft.
On draft. So we'd go down there and spend the afternoon. We did it once a year, and we did it for about probably 10 years.
Right.
Just as a bonding.
Yeah.
Thing, and it's like when I moved there, you're just friends instantly. I mean, it's not like you even have to try. You're just, oh, you're from Butte? Yeah, your father, but yeah, father, but yeah, they all knew Bud. Boom.
Yeah, you're in.
And we've been best friends, I mean, ever since. And Kevin had the snug in his house on Kalispell and Main Street. Kevin was a teacher and a very good teacher. He worked with at-risk youth as well. He worked at the alternative high school.
Mm-hmm.
In Kalispell, and he was the director, and I often said he ran it like Anaconda Central. He was really tough, but fair.
Right.
And he had a house on Main Street with the Irish flag flying proudly, green and white, white with green trim, and his kitchen he called the snug, which I thought was an all-male thing, but I found out that was not. But I thought the snug was a place where men went off of the bar to like smoke cigars and drink whiskey and talk about politics or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of envisioned.
No, I actually meant to confirm this since last week, but I'm almost sure that the snug was for the women because the men would be in the bar smoking and drinking.
Well, it makes total sense. I just assumed this. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, I just assumed it. Yeah, so we could go into Kevin's house at any time of day, any time, didn't matter. Irish music was generally playing. A lot of times he wasn't there, and you could sit and have a beer and with anybody you want. I mean, it didn't matter. His house was always, you were always welcome.
Was it open?
Always open.
Unlocked?
Unlocked, 24/7.
Even if he wasn't there himself?
24/7. Unbelievable. He didn't even have locks. I lived with Kevin after I got divorced. I lived there for a couple of years before I moved here.
Yeah. You lived in his house?
I lived in his basement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kevin
Yeah.
has twin boys. I went to Carroll,
Yeah.
played football at Carroll. Yeah.
Gosh.
But anyway, it was quite funny. I would often comment to Pat Lee, my good friend Pat, who's from Butte.
Yeah.
And I'd say, Pat, we're outnumbered. We jokingly call Anaconda people Condons. I go, there's more Condons than us. I go, and they're crazier than we are. And we, yeah, but we were very good friends.
Yeah. I was actually talking to somebody, an Anaconda on Monday, about that rivalry until you move further out of, you know, within the state, and then suddenly the Anacondas and the people are just partnering up.
I'll give you an example. Dan Lachlan and I played basketball against each other. Hated each other. Knew him since freshman year in high school.
Mm.
Didn't know each other, but we just didn't know. Because the Anaconda view.
Yeah.
As soon as we went to Eastern, Billings.
Right.
Because everybody didn't like us. They did not like you Anaconda people. Or
right.
They had a image of us that they didn't like.
Yeah.
So we pretty much, it was us against them.
Right. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the way it was at Eastern. It wasn't that way here when I went to the University of Montana, but it was definitely that way there.
Really?
Yeah. So then you just become instant friends.
Yeah.
Because you have the same morals, you have the same, you're raised the same way.
Yeah.
Blue collar, lower middle class, or middle, whatever you want to call it, you know. I mean, my mom was a widow, for God's sake. Yeah. I didn't ski or do anything. I played basketball. I remember we didn't have any money to do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I put my way through Central.
You did?
Butte Central. So did my sister Sheila.
Huh?
Yeah. Amazingly, Butte Central only cost $30 a month back then. And I ran our gymnasium at St. Anne's every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, for 8 hours. And I got paid $30 a month. My sister Sheila worked at the rectory every weekend. She got paid $30 a month.
And it went straight to
I never
pay
saw
your
it.
School fees.
I never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
With no question. There was no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like, where is it? Or, yeah, it was like, but I would have been at the gym anyway, because I, basketball is my biggest love.
Yeah.
Besides girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teenage, but I mean, basketball, I love playing basketball. So I probably would have been there anyway.
Right. And
yeah.
So when you were growing up in Butte and
yeah.
going to Butte Central,
yeah.
was it a very, what kind of, I suppose, social rituals were there, or what kind of cultural events? Or?
God, I mean, well, I guess, this is kind of funny, as a kid, pretty much everybody I knew was Democrats, and they were Catholic. So I thought if you were a Republican, you were Protestant. I remember I thought that till seventh grade, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There were no Protestants growing up.
Yeah.
What I knew, anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody was Catholic. Everybody was either Irish, Italian, Lebanese, Yugoslavian, Bosnian, or the
yeah.
That's not a nice word, but Croatian.
Serbian.
Mostly Serbian. The Croatians live in Anaconda, generally speaking, but that's a whole nother, that whole story. I
mm-hmm.
mean, yeah. And, I don't know, we were just all lower middle class kids that just, we didn't have anything. Rituals, I just delved into athletics. I mean, I know we had, Butte Central was a great school back then. I mean, we had probably three-quarter nuns.
Mm-hmm.
We had Christian Brothers, and we had Sisters of Charity. Yeah, the Christian Brothers were out of Chicago, and then we had Sisters of Charity, I think out of Chicago, too, I think. But there was probably three-quarters of the staff was that.
Yeah.
Maybe even 80%, 90%. So there's very few lay teachers.
Yeah.
We had a few, but not many. So we were basically raised by Christian Brothers. And you didn't go home and tell your mom, oh, you know, I got in trouble today, or Father Murray or Brother Murray's mean. Mm, you can go there.
Just getting trouble all over again.
You just kept your mouth shut. The Christian Brothers used to have a few tricks that would keep us in line. I'll show you one.
Do I want to know?
No, I won't hurt you. I remember Father or Brother Kelly used to do that.
Ah.
And if you push in hard,
I'm sure
that really hurts.
Yes, I
he had me on
take
my
your word for that.
He had me on my knees many times. And I'll tell you, you didn't do it again.
No.
Yeah. Brother Murray would not only do that, he would physically,
Yeah.
You minded. And you didn't go home and complain. You just didn't, because my mom would say you deserved it.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
Patrick's Day and be it growing up?
You know, we didn't celebrate it back then. Not like they do now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even remember St. Patrick's Day growing up. You know, we went to church. I don't remember. You know, the drinking age was 18 and things were a lot different back then. I do not remember a parade. We did not get out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Not back then. You know, I went to school from 70 to 74. And maybe, my memory's not great, but I do not remember a parade.
Right.
Yeah, or anything. I'm sure people celebrated it.
Yeah.
But, I don't. My first recollection is going to a St. Patty's Day parade in Butte, like when I was probably, close to 30 maybe. The Butte Celebration Committee just kind of started that, I'm going to guess, in the mid 80s maybe.
Yeah.
Where they really started promoting it, and then it turned into just a massive. And then when we got Henri Ra 7 years ago from Missoula, because
yeah.
He used to be here in Missoula,
yeah.
And like Monica Cavanaugh, they did a wonderful job with Henri. I mean, Henri Ra, I go every year. I will not miss it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's
unbelievable.
Good,
it's unbelievable. So I guess my Irish roots, I was a Hibernian for 20 years. I'm not one here. I don't know why I'm not here. I should be here. I was in Kalispell.
Do you know Patrick Toomey?
I don't.
I'll introduce you to him.
Okay. Kevin Callum was head of our Hibernian up in Kalispell.
Yeah.
We had quite a big chapter up there.
Yeah.
Who was the other fellow? Gallagher. Red Gallagher. Yeah, Red Gallagher and Kevin. And we'd have a St. Patrick's Day. You know, I was living in Kalispell and I was married, so I didn't come down. You know, Butte might have probably had one in the early 80s and that'll be it, but I was living, by that time I was living up there. And we had our own Hibernians party dinner at the Elks, where we would, not dress up, but wear tweed sport coats. And we'd have dinner, and we'd have a guest speaker always from, try to get, whoever, Kevin would get somebody.
Yeah.
That was very witty and very funny and, yeah, so that's what we did up in Kalispell. But there was quite a few Irish folks up in Kalispell. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not involved with the OH down here?
I have no idea why. I'm not. I have no idea.
And you play handball as well, obviously?
Started playing handball in 1976. Mike Ferreter.
Yes.
I was playing racquetball. I remember Mike Ferreter said to me, I'm not going to repeat what Mike Ferreter said to me. But I looked at Mike Ferreter and I said, no, I play handball, but I'm going to kick your butt, Mike. But anyway, Mike and I have been good friends for many, many. Mike's one of the first, long time.
Yeah.
And he was a year ahead of me and he went to Eastern as well. And so I started playing handball with him. And I got my good friend Rick Harrington to play handball. And so we've been playing since 1976. So 34 years.
Yeah.
And, I know Ricky went over to Ireland with his family in 2003, the World Championships were in Ireland that year.
That's right.
Every 3 years they have them in a different place. In 2012 they're going to be back in Ireland, and I'm planning, hoping to go to that.
Yeah. Between 1984 and 2012 you'll see some changes.
I'm definitely going to go down to Faroe Peninsula. I'm definitely. According to Rick, in 2003, they have the tournament all over the country because there's no place.
Mm.
There are literally probably 1,000 players, maybe.
Mm.
Because just Ireland alone.
Yeah.
Well, the best player in the world right now is from Ireland.
Yeah, Dan went in 03. He came rather.
That's right. He
there.
That's right. He did.
He
I remember when Dan
Masters,
went.
Yeah.
Because I just moved here.
And he was in Kilkenny. The Masters in Kilkenny.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Danny going. That's right. That's right. There were quite a few that went from here. Ricky went. My doubles partner Mike Berrigan went from Kalispell. Randy Johnson went from Kalispell. Dan, remember Danny went. I know there's some other ones from Missoula here went. I mean, I think Dave Emmons might have went. Can't remember if Dave went or not.
Mm.
But speaking of Dave, I took an Irish history class from him in 81 or 2 before I graduated. And so when I went to Ireland, I had a lot of that fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting.
Have you done any kind of extracurricular courses or anything since then?
Mm-mm. That's the last, I think. No. And I remember Terry, and I was talking to me, Terry O'Riordan talking to me about, it was last fall.
Mm.
He was doing that night class. Mine was Monday or Tuesday night for 11 weeks in a row.
The Irish language class?
I think so. And I really wanted to get into that, and Rick couldn't do it because he travels a little bit, and then I ended up not doing it.
Yeah.
But I know right now Dave Emmons is doing a class called the Butte Irish, or the History of the Butte Irish, or something like that, on Thursdays.
Is that a Molly class?
No, what is that? Is that no credit, you mean?
It's a class for members of the community. Or
yes,
because
my good friend Rega Mather's taken it.
Right.
I ran to him a few weeks ago, and it's like every Thursday from like 3 to 4:30 or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And it's called like the Butte Irish or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe it's for no credit, just for community. Because Dave's retired.
That's right.
He was a great professor. I, Dave and I became quite good friends.
He's a good man.
He's a very good man. He is, David. And I don't get to see Dave very often. A lot of my friends play at noon, handball at noon, and I my work doesn't allow me to do that. I have to play after work. So I try and play twice a week right now. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to play. Hopefully I'm going to play for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's getting harder.
That's Dan's going in.
Oh, he's on.
He'll be going forever, I think.
Oh, he loves it. Yeah, he loves it.
You used to spend your summers up at Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that become part of your family?
My grandma, my mom's mom, Catherine Dugan, Catherine McGrath Benny Dugan, bought that in 1949 or 1950. And for $5,000.
Right. And it's up near Georgetown Lake. So how far from Butte would that have been?
It's like 48 miles from Butte, or 45 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she bought that as a holiday cabin?
Mm-hmm. My uncle Bob was 18, I think, or 17 or 18. I remember my mom telling me that my uncle really was encouraging his mother to buy something. They were looking at Georgetown, is where they're originally looking.
Yeah.
And then the fellow that owned the Finland Hotel in Butte, can't remember his first name, he had this up for sale, and my grandma went and looked at it and bought it. She had a priest bless it, and then it burned down a week later. And then it's all right. It's all right. She had insured, thank God.
Yeah.
So my uncle, Bob, who was 18 at the time, or 19, he was going to school here at U of M.
Yeah.
And my other uncle, Jack Sweeney, who was married to my mother's sister.
Yeah.
And a fellow by the name of Hans Hansen, who built most of the cabins up at Echo Lake. They took them 3 summers to build it. So
right.
they rebuilt it.
Right.
The only thing standing was the chimney. And they figure it was, we have an electrical line that comes kind of across our cabin. They figure it frayed and it started a fire.
Yeah. And did you spend much time there?
My whole life.
Yeah.
Every weekend growing up as a kid, we would go up to Echo Lake pretty much. from Memorial Day through Labor Day.
Yeah.
But then I played athletics, so after it was Memorial Day through Labor Day, and
that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been up there, which I know you have,
yes,
it's colder than hell.
Yes.
It can be. It's 72 or 7,400 feet high. So it gets cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we turn our water off at the end of the season, and then we don't go back up there. Generally, if we get up there before Memorial Day, we feel pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Just because of the snow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know. So now it's been passed down to my generation. We bought it from my mother, my aunt, and my uncle here a year ago. And now my sister Kate and myself and the 5 Benny kids own it.
Right,
yeah,
together.
Yeah, so there's 7 of us, yeah.
And when you're up there, you fish?
Fish, hike, play horseshoes, reminisce. It's just relax. Go to Phillipsburg quite a bit. Go to, like, the plays in Phillipsburg.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Went to in late August, my sister Kate and I and my mom went to a Irish, vaudeville, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It was short skits of in the Playhouse in Peaburg, which is the oldest opera house in Montana. It was built in 1895. And the actors were portraying themselves in an Irish pub doing short skits.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Really?
It was fantastic. So, you know, so we really don't duel. I mean, it's not like we're scaling mountains or anything. I mean, you know, we just go up there for family and just to be together.
Yeah.
And I mean, my grandfather taught me how to play horseshoes. I've been playing horseshoes for 42 years, maybe.
Yeah.
12, I could probably throw, maybe 10, 44 years. Long time.
Yeah.
So we play a lot of horseshoes.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah. And a lot of work. I mean, we're always doing something. Seems like up there, you know, we did a roof a year ago, putting a roof on,
mm-hmm.
and we're either chinking logs or staining logs or doing some, it seems like, because
yeah.
The winters are pretty tough on
the
structure up there, but every time I go up there, I thank my grandma, every time, for buying it,
because
I could never afford something like that, or, you know, I couldn't afford a piece of property in Georgetown or Echo. Yeah. So just a lot of real good memories up there. I had Ricky's bachelor party up there, my good friend Rick Harrington. I mean, just a ton of memories.
Yeah.
My grandfather Tim Dugan, we used to play wiffle ball out there, just right out in front. Him drag bunning a ball down and go for, oh God, we were laughing. Just good memories.
Yeah.
Good memories. My grandma dressed to the nigh with her furs. She always wore a fur wrap, gloves, and it's just...
She dressed like that at the cabin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Nylons, dress, shoes.
Dress shoes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's a very serious lady.
Very. She was decked.
Yeah.
At all times.
How fantastic.
I remember she'd hand me a 20 when I was in high school.
That would be a lot then. I'll stop for a minute.
Exactly.
So with regard to the gathering then, what appealed to you about the project, or why did you decide to sign up for the gathering?
Well, I'm proud of my Butte Irish heritage. Proud to be Irish, and I guess it helped me to remember a lot, and I've learned a lot in just sharing them with other people. Yeah.
If you were to write a history or to contribute to the history of the Irish in Montana, what do you think should be included?
Ooh, that's a good question. That was almost like Dave Emmons' final question in our Irish history class. How do you solve the Irish question, the Irish problem?
Yeah.
Would you state that again?
Well, if you were to write the history of the Irish Montana,
wow.
What would you think should be included?
Wow. I guess the first thing that comes to mind when you is faith. Friendship. Closeness, bonding, togetherness. I haven't lived in that many cities, but I have never ever been in a town remotely close like Butte. Maybe in Ireland I was, but I wasn't in those towns long enough.
Yeah.
And when I retire, I'm going back
to
Butte. I wouldn't mind going. Lived in Ireland for a while. My friend Dan McClaffrey and I are talking about that right now.
Yeah.
And but I'm definitely gonna retire in Butte.
You know, that's interesting because so many people retire back to Butte.
I know a lot of people. I'm kind of in the middle of the baby boom generation.
Yeah.
The baby boom was like 46 to 63 age group now, so I'm kind of right in the middle. But I know a lot of people in their mid 60s, friends of mine's older brothers or sisters, are moving back to Butte.
And it seems to be going against kind of the logic of moving to the sun in people's older years. A lot of people are going back to Butte.
Do you know why I'd go back there?
For
the main reason. This isn't the only reason, but it's I'm not married. I don't have a wife, and I know if I go back to Butte, that I'll be taken care of.
Really?
No question. Now, taken care of meaning. Whatever that means. I mean, I don't mean pampered or anything.
Yeah. There'll be people there for you.
Absolutely. They don't even have to be family.
Yeah.
I really don't have that much family in Butte.
Yeah.
Got a lot of family in Anaconda. I don't have that much in Butte, really. Got my mom.
Yeah.
And my sister Sheila.
Uh-huh.
And her husband Paul Cutler. And their two boys live in Butte. And my Uncle Bob and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin Barbie, his daughter, and my cousin Joan, his daughter, and that's really about it.
Yeah.
Amazingly, all these people.
Exactly.
But I find myself, the older I'm getting, drawn back there.
Really?
My older sister thinks I'm crazy.
Does she live there?
She lives in Bozeman.
All right.
My sister Sheila is a Butte girl. She's 15 months older than me. She is a Butte girl. My mom is a Butte girl. They could care less if they lived anywhere else.
Yeah.
My sister Sheila could care less. She loves it.
Uh-huh.
My sister Kate, she likes Butte. She loves going home, but she likes, she thinks it's almost too much.
Too insular?
Hmm?
Too insular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or define insular.
Well, I guess.
Insulating?
Insulated against
too
the outside.
Too smothering, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. My little sister Colleen lives in San Francisco. And I really don't know my little sister. She's 5 years younger than me. And by the time she got into late grade school, I was in college, high school, college. When she was in college, I was where I know. I really amazingly don't know her that well. I really haven't been around her.
Yeah.
She graduated from Tech and lives in Florida and then Sacramento and now San Francisco. And I rarely see her.
Would you love that to be it?
I am. There's no question in my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yep. That's home.
That.
As a matter of fact, when I find myself at work, I'll say, what are you doing this weekend, Tom? I'm going home. They go, you are home. I go, no.
Yeah.
Going home.
Well, thank you, Tom, so much for that. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.